Thank you, Candy. Hello, everyone. My name is Kamal. I'm one of the ministers of this church, and it's my privilege to be bringing us the Word of God from Ezekiel chapter 34. As we approach God's Word, let's pray and ask God's Holy Spirit to be our interpreter. Thank you, Father, that you bring to us your Word. Thank you for your Scriptures, your Word written. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your Word made flesh. And now we ask you, Holy Spirit, please work in and amongst us so that we may know the one true God. Give to us the intellectual ability to understand your Scripture, but more than intellectual, work in our hearts and souls that we would want to follow Jesus Christ, the ultimate shepherd. Amen. Who's going to lead us when leadership fails? I don't know if you think about this, but we are now going through a time of leadership crisis. Not just the COVID crisis, but a crisis of legitimate social, political, and global leadership. Now, here at Grace Point and in New South Wales and Sydney, we may not feel this crisis so bad because our church here at Grace Point is doing well. Here in Australia, the medical and governmental response to the global pandemic has been relatively good. And so, yes, people have suffered, people have died. That's tragic, but it's not been half as bad as what we see on TV in Europe and so on. The economic crisis hasn't hit us yet. And right now, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian, she's undergoing an investigation into her romantic relationships with another politician. Now, we as Christians do not approve of sex and romance outside of marriage, but Gladys doesn't call herself a Christian. We're not going to try and impose our morals on someone who doesn't follow Christianity. And anyway, we'll just leave that to the commissions that are supposed to look into those kinds of things. So here in Grace Point, here in Australia and in Sydney and New South Wales, we may not feel this leadership crisis, but as we watch the news, you know that the USA is going through a crisis of legitimate leadership. The people don't trust the government. The people of that great nation, a world leader in science and technology, no longer trust their medical leaders. You've probably noticed how conspiracy theories are skyrocketing. People really believe that the whole COVID crisis is a conspiracy to enable Bill Gates to inject micro robots into our brains through a fake vaccine. Now, why do so many people believe that? Because they don't trust their leaders. They're undergoing a crisis of legitimate leadership. Now, it's easy to pay out on the USA because they're in the news a lot and they make for good entertainment when they have arguments, when they have the political debates. But many of us have migrated from countries where we don't trust the leaders and other institutional leaders, like church leaders even, because in those countries, everybody knows that the reason you take a position of leadership is not to care for those under you, but to benefit yourself and your family. That is what happens in Sri Lanka, where I was born and grew up. In Sri Lanka, bribery and corruption, or what we would consider bribery and corruption, is just a way of life. It's just how we get things done to get a business up and running, to get your child into a good school. It's all got to do with connections. If you have friends in high places, then you get your children into a good school, you get into a good job. Or else you pay a bribe, you grease the palm. And that's just how it is. Because everybody knows that people who are in authority, they don't use that power to benefit and care for those under them. They use it for themselves and for their family. Now, I'll tell you, in Sri Lanka, there was no leadership crisis because everyone was apathetic about it. That's just how it is, okay? And that's why we left there and came here to Australia, where we can trust the government and we can trust the police and the medical authorities. And I'm sure many of us who are watching on the live stream, you've done the same kind of thing. But look, even if you haven't come from overseas and from a country where there's exploitative leadership, look, we've all experienced bad leadership, like a complete idiot of a boss. Someone like the boss from them Dilbert cartoons, where you do all the work and they take all the credit. Now, all this shows that we need good, healthy leadership. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves as sheep. This whole passage, Ezekiel 34, talks about sheep and shepherd. We don't like to think of ourselves as sheep because in today's Western and independent culture, to be a sheep means to be easily led, a fool, naive. We want to make our own destiny. We don't follow anyone. But first of all, that's not what the Bible means by sheep and shepherd. The Bible doesn't mean it as an insult. It means it more in ways that we actually can understand today. We are vulnerable. We are humble people who need someone to tell us the good life, to take us to that good life. We need leadership. And that's what this COVID crisis and this pandemic and the crisis of leadership has shown us. I invite you all to just look online about discussions of how Australia is being held up as an example. Australia and New Zealand have been held up as examples of good leadership in the midst of this pandemic. Praise God, that's really good. Because we are people, we really are sheep, the way the Bible puts it. We're not fools. We are humble, weak, vulnerable people who need to be led to the good life. And that is why we need Jesus. In the book of Ezekiel, God's people were more like Sri Lanka than Australia. Okay? They had been run by arrogant, oppressive bosses, and that's why they ended up in exile. But in this section of Ezekiel, now Ezekiel 34, we make a change from the streets of judgment and to a street of hope. Basically, in Ezekiel chapter 32, what happens is there is the destruction of Jerusalem, but then there's a fundamental shift in Ezekiel himself. He is able to speak, and it's as if he gets a prophetic call for the second time. Now he is to be a prophet of hope. Now that judgment has fallen on the people of God in Jerusalem, Jerusalem has been destroyed. It's like finally the wound has been cleaned up. The gangrenous limb has been cut off, and now the healing can begin. I'm going to take the time to read the whole of Ezekiel 34 in sections, you'll be glad to know, but I want to take the time to read the Bible because we need to hear the word of God, and God's word from his mouth is more important than the word of some crazy Sri Lankan from the front of the church, okay? So please open Ezekiel chapter 34 and I'll read it in slabs and give you my commentary, give you my explanation of the passage and what it means for us to trust and obey this passage today. Ezekiel 34, starting from verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them.'" Now the shepherds here in Ezekiel 34 are not literal shepherds. They are the civic and religious leaders of God's people. God speaks to them, "Woe to you shepherds of Israel." Now that's interesting because the whole of Ezekiel is speaking to Judah, one of the tribes, the southern kingdom of Israel, not to the whole nation of Israel. Now, he could be speaking to Judah. using the Northern Kingdom as an example of what happens when we reject and ignore God and when we have bad leaders. Basically, the Assyrian Empire destroyed the nation of Israel, and God could here be saying the leaders led them astray. They got destroyed by the Assyrians. The leaders of your people, Judah, have led you astray. You're going to be destroyed as well. It's kind of like, you know, how a Coles supermarket had a glitch and the whole system went down. It's as if God's saying to Woolworths, hey, Woolies, don't get a big head. If it happened to Coles, it could happen to you. However, I think what God is doing is addressing Judah as God's people. God is reminding the leaders of Judah, the nation, who's really in charge. The leaders do not own the flock. You are not fundamentally the boss. You are only under shepherds. They are employees of Almighty God, and they should be shepherding it for Him. And they've failed. And God's going to sack them. God's leaders should be like God. They should care for God's people on behalf of God, like God, reflecting God's character, imaging His character. That's why God says in verse 2, shouldn't shepherds take care of the flock? Verse 3, you don't take care of the flock. We take for granted that leaders should take care of those under their care. But that's no small thing. That's something that actually comes from our whole culture, our Western culture, being deeply impacted by the Bible and the Christian understanding of leadership, where leaders lead for the benefit of those under them. Those of us who come from foreign nations, you know that is not normal. Not everybody takes that for granted. Verse 4 gives a list of how the leaders should have led but didn't lead. So kind of if we invert everything that verse 4 says, that's examples of how godly leadership should lead. So verse 4 says, you have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. Godly leaders image God by caring for the weak, because that's what God did, and He showed it most of all when He rescued His people from Egypt. In the book of Exodus, for example, Exodus chapter 2, you can flip it up if you want, or else just listen. In Exodus 2, verses 23 to 25, Exodus 2, 23 to 25, during that long period, the king of Egypt died, the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. And to summarize the whole book of Exodus, God sent Moses to rescue His people and to take them to a safe place. Think of Moses as God's good shepherd, who expressed in himself and by his actions who he was and what he did. Moses cared for God's people because God Himself cared. A good leader is kind to the weak. A good leader lifts up those who are bowed down. Nowadays, everything is competitive. The strong get all the favors, and perhaps you felt that, especially those of you who are on the cusp of your year 12, because schools get graded on performance. And so teachers, especially in this stressful time with COVID and homeschooling, and so teachers under pressure to like broadcast their classes and stuff and discipline the students, teachers get graded on performance and so only pay attention to all the top students. And nowadays, jobs tend to be short-term contracts. I'm not surprised if many of you watching this live stream, you're stressed about your job, maybe not right now, but in the near future, because you have to perform better, not just perform well enough to fulfill your budget, but you have to perform better and better all the time just to make sure that you can keep your job and that someone younger or someone from somewhere else in the organization doesn't snaffle your job from right from under your feet and you suddenly end up unemployed in the midst of a global COVID recession. It's stressful, isn't it? Godly leaders create a society where we don't feel that kind of pressure. A godly teacher is more than fair. Yes, they're fair, but a godly teacher helps more time with the weak students. The strong, who needs more tuition, actually? The weak students who don't even comprehend the basics, or the strong who not only get the basics, but can actually apply it to more and more new areas? It's the weak, isn't it? So the weak are the ones who need more tuition, not the strong. And a godly boss is more than fair. A godly boss spends time helping those who are struggling to make budget, because a godly boss knows that even people who struggle to make budget have bills to pay, they have families to feed, they have children depending on them. A godly boss even goes out of his or her way to employ the unemployed. Those who are like desperate and in major trouble, especially now that government support is ending. But the leaders of God's people were doing the opposite to God. They weren't being godly. They were being ungodly, anti-God. They weren't feeding the flock. They were feeding themselves on the flock. Verse 3, you eat the curds. You clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the choice animals. They were being cruel, not gentle. End of verse 4, you have ruled them harshly and brutally. And friends, we can do this as well, even if we follow Jesus. Don't let your fears and uncertainties let you overlook the fears and vulnerabilities of those who depend on you. We here at Grace Point tend to be relatively comfortable, relatively safe, even despite everything I said. We tend to be intelligent university graduates who are therefore relatively wealthy and have relatively good jobs with people depending on us. Nobody blames you for the fears and uncertainties that I just said because of COVID. But don't let those fears and uncertainties make you selfish and blind to the needs of those who are depending on you. In the name of Jesus Christ, let's take the opportunity as people who are relatively all right, such as we are able in our jobs with our friends, to talk to them and speak to them and help them, especially in this time of uncertainty and crisis. And therefore, formally, if we really are their boss, or informally as friends, to show them Jesus, to show them what a godly leader is like, someone who doesn't protect ourselves at the expense of the vulnerable, but quite the opposite, someone who gives of ourselves for the sake of those under us, not ignoring our own fears, but putting our fears at the feet of Jesus Christ, the Almighty, crucified and risen one, and trusting Him to care for us and care for them, and inviting them to exercise that same kind of trust. Why are you so nice to me? Because I believe in Jesus Christ, the risen one, whom COVID and economics and the government cannot defeat. You want to talk about Him? God laid the blame of the exile. Remember, Ezekiel is himself at the Kibar River. He's in exile. God lays the blame of the scattered sheep, verses 5 and 6. They were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for the wild animals. They wandered. The scattering is a removal from the promised land, but it's because of the Jewish leaders. Now, as you know, friends, we live in a time of secularization. Everything is de-Christianizing around us. We talk about how it's difficult to not only be Christian, but even to be religious these days because of a more and more aggressive imposition of secularity. In that kind of context, parents, let me address you parents. Now, a moment ago, Leanne, we prayed for the children, rightly so, but parents, where are you leading your children? God gives us the privilege of being shepherds of our children. It's a privilege and a responsibility. So what values and attitudes are you inculcating in your children? Because folks, you know that children are sponges. They soak up what they see and what they see you doing. whatever you value, they will value. So if you value money, they will value money. If you value safety and security, then you, then they will value safety and security. And if you are willing to sacrifice everything for Jesus Christ, if you are willing to risk your career, risk your mortgage, risk your safety, your money for Jesus Christ because He is Almighty God and you trust Him that He died and rose to take you to a safe place where your treasure in heaven is worth more than your treasure on earth. If you trust Him, then they'll pick that up too. Lots of young people today are in danger of drifting, of being scattered from God's flock. Not because the parents are rampant sinners, but just because we did not put Jesus Christ as first priority. Because we did not really worship Jesus, we actually worship safety or money or career or whatever. Parents, God has given you the authority and responsibility to shepherd your children. Are you leading them towards Jesus? Or permitting them to drift and be scattered like sheep without a shepherd? Now we know where God and how God, the ultimate good shepherd, leads His people because He's going to seek and save His flock. That's what this passage continues. And the tragedy is in verses 7 to 10. So I'll read now verses 7 to 10. God has to save His people from bad shepherds. Verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. Shepherds feed the flock, proper shepherds. These shepherds were feeding themselves on the flock. It almost sounds like God kind of wishes they'd rather be scattered rather than eaten by these false shepherds, these hired hands, these thieves and robbers who come to kill and destroy. Recently, there's been a whole lot of scandals of high-profile pastors who've been shown up to have been exploiting and abusing their power in some way. So, way back in 2013... some of you will be old enough to remember this. You remember Mark Driscoll? He planted a massive church in Seattle in Northwest USA, which was and is a really difficult secularized part of the USA. And people were in awe of what he did, and he was internationally famous. I heard the guy at a conference here in Sydney. But in 2013, somebody started investigating sales of his books, started investigating his finances, and basically discovered that Driscoll had been using church money to boost sales of his private book, from which, of course, he received royalties. And that kicked off a series of investigations that exposed him to be a manipulative, arrogant, foul-mouthed bully. And he got sacked, and his church was scattered. Bill Hybels, another megachurch pastor, his church used to draw 24,000 people. I think that's about as many as we have attending Presbyterian churches across the whole country. He ran an international conference, the Global Leadership Summit. I've seen YouTube clips from there, where he tried to expand his influence across the whole world in 2018. He was found out to have been engaging in sexual misconduct, basically using his power to demand sexual favors from women staff. People like this do enormous damage to the credibility of the church and the honor and name of Jesus Christ Himself. In fact, it's kind of personal for me because many of you listening know more of this story. In my very first church, I had to clean up the mess left behind by one of the former church ministers who had engaged in sexual immorality. Now, praise God, good things happened under my leadership. I don't take credit. I give the credit to the Spirit of God. But I had a mess to clean up, didn't I? Because of a false leader, a false shepherd who fed himself on the sheep. Church agencies like schools have permitted predators to be amongst them. When I was leader of the New South Wales Presbyterian Church, the figurehead leader for 1 year called the moderator, I had to sign an apology because decades ago, our denomination, none of us were, I wasn't born. This is like, you know, way back last millennium, halfway through last millennium. Our denomination had permitted a sexual predator in one of our schools. I had to sign that apology as the leader of the denomination. I said to the person in that apology, I am willing to meet with you and apologize to you face to face if you want me to. He didn't want me to. In fact, it was communicated to me that he was very forgiving because he knew I hadn't even been born then. None of us who were church leaders, who are church leaders, had even been born then. He just wanted a formal apology and reparations and to be confident that it'll never happen again. This kind of thing does enormous damage to people, to the Church of God, and the reputation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Grace Point, as far as I know, things are going really well here. I haven't heard any allegations against our leaders, but in the name of God, I'll tell you this. If you have been hurt by anybody here at church, please tell someone. I promise you that as leaders, as shepherds of God's church, we will not stand on our own ego. We will apologize. We don't want to be the thieves and robbers who kill and destroy. We want to be the good shepherds who feed God's sheep. Because we want to be like Jesus. How does Jesus lead? Mark 10:45, Jesus says, even the Son of Man, one of his favorite designations of himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus led like God because he is God. And that means that he cared more about others. He cared more about those who were under his power than he cared about himself. And so he gave himself all the way to death for the sake of those who deserved to die. As ministers, we have to care more about those under our power than care about ourselves. We have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for those we lead. That's what it means to feed God's sheep. No shortcuts. And I say that to my brother ministers, my fellow staff, and also to everyone who has a position of leadership within the church. All of us, community group leaders, small space leaders, Sunday school leaders, okay, pastoral care leaders, all of us have the responsibility to demonstrate God's care. To care more about those under us than care about ourselves. No shortcuts. That's what it means to feed God's sheep. During the course of this week, we made glorious announcements about ministry trainees that have officially been accepted for next year. One of them is Jason Yu, who's leading this service. What do you reckon, Jace? You still up for it? The Good Shepherd, he looks for the lost. He fires the false leaders and he cares for the lost. Verses 11 to 13. Let's read 11 to 13. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. Now, folks, you know I'm what's called the missions pastor, so my job revolves around reaching out to people who don't yet follow Jesus. But, folks, every church minister needs to seek and save, needs to look for those who don't follow Jesus, because that's what God did. That's what Jesus came. We are on a mission because Jesus came as God's mission. We can evangelize, we can share the good news about Jesus with others because Jesus came to be good news. And folks, the best way to get motivated to join God on his mission is to meditate deeply on Jesus Christ. The best way to be motivated, the only way to get motivated to share Jesus, is to meditate deeply on Jesus himself and what an awesome shepherd he is. Because then naturally it will flow out of us. We will naturally and instinctively say to people, come, follow Jesus. He will take you to green pasture. That's why Jesus came. Another famous verse, Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Luke 19:10. When we say that Jesus came as God, he is God in the flesh, it's more than just a doctrine. We love him. We rejoice in him because he came to pour out his blood for us. So friends, we want you to do more than just come to church. Grace Point is such an awesome church. We have so much fun together, gathering in our small spaces, chatting, catching up, meeting new people, snacking, eating snacks, going out for lunch afterwards. It's so such a wonderful church, doing peripheral things, community groups, socials, online, singing. The music's great. Round of applause for the musicians. It's easier to be a Grace Pointer than a Christian. Because following Jesus can be totally not cool. But friends, we want you to come to Jesus. Don't just come to church. I mean, come to church. Yes, online or in person when we can. It's not like sinful to come to church. That's silly. But don't just come to church because you enjoy Grace Point. Worship Jesus. He is the ultimate shepherd because only he can take us to a safe space. I'm going to speed up because I can feel the time going. So now my comments on the rest of the passage will be relatively brief. Verses 14 to 16. I will tend them, says the Lord, in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Folks, we all want a safe space in today's scary world, and fair enough too. Cancel culture, conflict culture, all the fighting that we see on social media, it's so stressful. We who are in church, and especially church leaders, we need to be patient with people who have been hurt by Christianity or just generally by the world, frightened people who've been damaged by the COVID crisis. Have you heard the little phrase? It's a good phrase to remember. Hurt people hurt people. What that means is people who have been hurt are sensitive and can pass that hurt on to others, not because they're trying to be cruel, but because they're protecting themselves. What happens when you're injured, when you pull a knee or something? It's sore. So if someone pokes your knee, it hurts much more than normal, and it's not funny. And so you yell at them. That's what that means. We in church, especially church leaders, we need to be kind and patient to like Jesus, to bind up the injured like God. And then we can train the sheep, just like God trains his sheep to behave well. Verses 17 to 24. Verse 17, as for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between the rams and the goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of the pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." To be kind and patient does not mean just to let people do whatever they want. We need to be strong enough to help people grow in godliness, grow in the kind of character where we can be good, obedient sheep that help each other rather than getting in each other's way. Sheep that play with each other rather than headbutting each other. Followers. We need to be followers. We ourselves as leaders need to be sheep who are strong enough not to be bullies. Have you noticed? You know that saying, bullies are always cowards? It's true. People who are vicious because not because they're strong, because they're weak. We need to be strong enough to be kind to people who are hurting, but then in that kindness still invite or challenge them to grow in godliness, not to take advantage of each other, not to trample the pasture, not to muddy the water, not to headbutt each other. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't just teach theology, he shaped his way of leadership in those who were following him. Mark 10:45, which I've quoted earlier, it's even more interesting in context. We need to read it in the context of verses 43 to 45. He is speaking, in fact, in the big context of the whole thing, he's speaking to his disciples. Jesus is facing his own leadership crisis. James and John come and say, "We want to be your right hand and left hand man. Promise us we will give you favors. You give us favors. Just we want to be your inside men. We deserve it, don't we? We were one of the earliest followers. Give us privilege." The other disciples find out and are furious. Jesus's new flock is facing the danger of being scattered, and it'll all be on him because he's the chief shepherd. What does he do? He says to them, verse 43, Mark chapter 10, 43, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus did not just teach, he shaped, he inculcated a godly way of life in his followers so that his followers could lead and shape it in others. We have to do the same. Those of us who are in a formal position of leadership and informally, just as we hang out with each other, we need to be strong enough to be kind, but in that kindness, guide people to godly, wholesome living. And that is how we will join God, the ultimate shepherd, in leading people to a place of perfect peace and safety. The last few verses, 25 to 31 of this passage. "I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of savage beasts, so that they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forests in safety. I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in season, and there will be showers of blessing. The trees will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord." Now, any good leader doesn't help the people under them to just survive. He helps, or he or she helps them to thrive, to prosper. So business managers need to make a profit, and parents, you want your children to succeed. That's why we need Jesus. Because Jesus wins. He is risen. Nothing and no one can defeat him. No one can plunder him anymore, like it says in verse 28. He isn't afraid of anyone. He is in the place of ultimate blessing. heaven, the new creation. And therefore, Jesus Christ, the risen one, can take us to the place of ultimate blessing, the new creation, what we sometimes call heaven. That's what Ezekiel has in mind here, this really incredible picture of complete safety, ultimate blessing, no more droughts, no more storms, no more famine, like what the droughts that we experienced for many years, and then that was broken by storms and floods which washed away all the good topsoil. No more savage beasts, not even swooping magpies. You know that meme with the kid, you know, going, I've seen it on Facebook, the kid getting swooped by magpies in the street. Anyway, no more enemies to come and plunder the nation which the people whom Ezekiel was speaking to, Kibar River, they were the plunder. Do you want this kind of future? Do you want a place of only blessing, perfect safety, nothing at all to make you afraid? Then follow Jesus, the ultimate shepherd, the best shepherd. The David foretold in verse 24, the Lord will be their God, my servant David will be prince. That's Jesus, because he, Jesus, John 10:11, you're wondering why it took me so long to get here. It's because I wanted to use John 10 as a summary. Jesus is the good shepherd, the best shepherd, the ultimate shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Everybody else, even me, we're just hired hands. I'll tell you, it's easy, it's tempting to run away when the wolf comes and protect ourselves. I feel it myself. I trust, I'm confident that no one else in Grace Point is a thief and a robber. But you have, I'm sure, some of you have experienced that kind of thing, perhaps from churches or from your families or just in life. We are living in a time of crisis of leadership. Here in Australia, in New South Wales, and at Grace Point, we haven't felt it as much. Praise God. Who is the leader who can lead us through and out of this leadership crisis? Not the church. Not even the church leaders. Please don't put that burden on us. We are not the Messiah. Only Jesus Christ, the ultimate shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Come to him. Follow him. He is the ultimate leader who can lead us out of every crisis to a place of joy, safety, and security, which we all want and we all need. Let's pray. We praise and thank you, Father God, that you sent us Jesus, the ultimate shepherd. He is God in the flesh, incarnate. Therefore, we can trust him completely. We praise you that you shape in us godliness, a way of life, of living for you. We ask especially for the many of us who have responsibilities of leadership, community group leaders, small space leaders, youth leaders, children's leaders, pastoral leaders. Give to us, Holy Spirit, deep character that follows Jesus so that we can lead others towards Jesus. We pray for parents, that we who are parents will rightly want to follow Jesus, therefore we can lead our children to follow Jesus. And we ask that first of all, you will inflame of us a love of Jesus Christ, the best shepherd, the ultimate shepherd, the one who laid down his life and took it up again, who is now in ultimate glory, unconquerable, and bids us follow him as he leads us to glory. For the honor of his name, amen.